Today I'll be reading Psalms 145, verses 17 through 19. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them.
Good morning, church. Good morning. It is a great day. And I love hearing the echoes. Great to be with you this morning. Great to spend time together in worship, hear songs, join in prayer, and know that we are not only here together with one another, but we have those who are joining us electronically. And so we're glad for all of you who are here. This morning we're starting a new series, and our God is beyond imagining. This is a call to prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer. If you attended Sunday school as a youngster, maybe you are attending Sunday school as a youngster now, if you went to VBS as a kid, if you teach VBS, if you teach classes now, if you've done any of those things, then you've listened to lessons about some wonderful, amazing people. And a lot of times it's out of the Old Testament, these fantastic as in real, but amazing stories about real people doing real things that are just wonderful. Moses, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, David, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Esther and Deborah. I mean, we just go on and on and on and on. And one of the things that all of these accounts, all of these historical accounts have in common is describing to us an amazing God. This amazing God is the one who parts the sea for the Israelites after he brings Egypt to its knees. This is the God who tells Noah to build a boat and saves 8 people and starts over with creation again. This is the God of David who slays Goliath. This is the God who allows Daniel to go into the lion's den and isn't scratched, isn't touched. Or Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to go into the fiery furnace that eats up the people who open the doors for the furnace, and they're without a scorch. Don't even smell like smoke. This is the God who is amazing and does amazing things. And when we pray, church, this is the God to whom we pray. And so we're going to talk this morning about the call to prayer. And let's just start together by looking at who we're praying to and what he can and will do. First of all, God can and do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. God can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Now, don't let that slip by you, because I don't know about you, but I have a pretty good imagination. And to know that God can do beyond what I can even imagine is pretty amazing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll begin in reading verse 20. It'll be on the screen, but if you want to open your Bibles, I'd love for you to open your Bibles and read along with me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice something. This promise is made in the language of prayer. He can do exceedingly more than we can ask. The Greek word there is aiteo. Then we can aiteo God. He can do more than we can ask or imagine. And let's just talk about that language of prayer for just a minute. Jesus in John chapter 14 tells his disciples, "You may ask, you may aiteo for anything in my name, and I will do it." Think about that. You can ask for anything in the name of Jesus, and that doesn't mean we finish our prayers in Jesus' name, amen. That means anything we ask of Jesus, God the Son, our Savior, that is within the person, the purpose, the personality, and the ministry of Jesus, the answer is yes. We can ask, the language of ask, the language of prayer. John records more information in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning verse 14, John writes, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask, if we aiteo, anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us, that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. We know that he hears us. We know that he turns his face to us. He listens to us. And we know that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, in keeping with his ministry and who he is and what he's about, we know he answers that prayer. So this promise is made in the language of prayer, but it's also, going back to Ephesians chapter 3, made in the context of prayer. It's still a very valid and inspired scripture verse. If it's just one verse and it's a standalone verse. But when you look at the context, what comes before and what comes after, when you look at the pool in which that verse swims, it makes it even more powerful. If we just go back a few verses in Ephesians chapter 3 and go back to verse 14, Ephesians 3:14, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, for this reason, for this call. Now what he's talking about, because of all that God has done, because of all the things God has done, for this reason, he says in verse 14, I kneel before the Father. I bow my knee. The language of prayer. Because of the God who we have, because of the God that we know, because of what God has done, I get on my knees and I come speak to the God who does all these things because he's that God. And then you go down to verse 16, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you. So here's Paul calling on the power of the prayer for the church in Ephesus. I've looked at this God and I've seen all that he's done. And he's an amazing God. He's a powerful God. He's a creation God. He's the guy who created all things and sustains all things. And because of that, I kneel in prayer before him and I lift you up in prayer. And I ask that he strengthen you. The God that can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Some of your translations say immeasurably more, abundantly more, exceedingly abundantly more, infinitely more than God can ask or imagine. So here's the deal. This God whom we worship and who we pray to can do abundantly more, exceedingly abundantly, infinitely more, far more than we can ask or imagine. This is a picture from last year. The timing was wonderful. Black Gold Days. What a wonderful gift it is, Black Gold Days. This is a ministry. This is one of the ministries I like to think the whole church is involved in. There are people who spend time planning and arranging and preparing and putting things together for Black Gold Days. All those things at the table themselves and the cover over it, none of those things just appear. All those things take work. And then there's people who man the booth and who visit and spend time out there and sharing with people and talking with people and engaging people and praying with people. And then there's the ones who put together and the ones who clean up and the ones who, I'd like to think that those who aren't physically involved in that are prayerfully engaged in that ministry. And it's a wonderful go and make disciples ministry. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to share and be a part of our community and to learn about people. I had a fantastic experience with a gentleman who was there. This was yesterday afternoon. And he was there with his daughter. She was 26 years old and he had just found out she existed. And so he said, our time is together, is yours to do whatever you want to do. And she said, well, let's go to Black Gold Days together. And so we got to visit with them, prayed with them. What a wonderful, wonderful time that was to get to meet them. I'll share with you another story. I wasn't there for this, but I managed to hear about it, and it's a wonderful blessing. There was a young couple, I think Thursday, the very first day of Black Gold, who came to visit. And they came by the booth, and they stopped, and we had a chance to visit with them, those who were there at the booth that moment. And asked him if there's just anything that we can pray for them about. And the young man was nervous. He had a test the next day. He had a test Friday. He was studying to be a realtor. Had a realtor's exam, and he was worried about the test. It's a difficult test. He studied hard for it, but he's really worried about it. And so that was lifted up in prayer. Friday evening comes along, and the same couple's back again out. Who knows, they might go to the fair every night that it's open, but they were back again on Friday night. And they came back by the booth again, and the booth was busy. And it was there were times that Friday night, I think it was, that there were two lines of people waiting to play, you know, the beanbag toss. And so it was kind of a busy moment when that couple came back again, but they waited. And they waited until the line thinned out, and they waited until they had a chance to speak to the people who were there in the booth. And they came back and told the people there that he had passed his test, and he's convinced that it's by the power of God that he has passed his test and he has become a realtor. Church, I hope you appreciate what an amazing honor it is. What an amazing, yes, it's hot. And yes, it's dry. And yes, yes, it's hard to set up. It's hard to take down. It's a lot of work. But church, what an amazing gift it is for people that you've met 5 minutes ago to invite you into their life and say, yeah, can you pray about this? Can we pray about this together? To share life together. How many people do you know that you meet 5 minutes and you're sharing life together? And then what an amazing privilege it is to take you and your new friend into the very center of God's universe, the Holy of Holies, and come before God and lift up prayer. That our new friends would trust us with part of their life, and that God would welcome us to come into his presence. That is almost incomprehensible. And then to know that we're doing that before a God who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Sometimes we may feel like prayer, it's hard to see prayer work. The Mark 10 program we took the collection for, that's easy to see at work. You see the backpacks go out with food in them. You see the empty backpacks come back. You see the food go out. You see the food come back. You see tangible evidence of it. When this church hosted those people who were evacuated from their homes during the fire, you see the shelter that they get to sit in an air-conditioned place and cool down. They have a place where they can use their phones to check on people and check on family and check on their home. You see when they have the pizza. You get to, that's tangible. But sometimes prayer, it's hard to see it at work. But the truth is that we're praying to an almighty God, and people are allowing us, they're giving us the privilege of coming into their world for, even if it's just a moment, what a great privilege that is. And lift up God in prayer to a God who can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Number two, God invites us to draw near to him. God invites us to draw near to him. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10 for this. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's stop there. It's a terrifying thing to come into the presence of someone who holds your life in their hands. In the time in which this was written, the world was run by kings, and the king was such that you did not come into his presence unless you were summoned into his presence, and if you dared try to enter his presence without being summoned, you were taking your life into your own hands. It's a scary thing to come in the presence of someone who holds your life in their hands. Esther is a great example of this. Esther was one who was taken into captivity, and her story is one of amazing adventure, challenges and trials. The Israelites are in danger of being extinguished, of being annihilated, of being wiped out. And so Mordecai comes to Esther and asks her to plead for the Israelites before the king. And Esther has a connection with the king, an entrance to the king that nobody else in Israel does. And so Esther is concerned. And what she says is, I've not been invited. I'll just share with you real quick. Esther chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 11. Esther 4 verse 11. All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But, Esther tells Mordecai, 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. there's this young lady who's got the weight of Israel on her shoulders. Mordecai says, you're our only hope, you're our only saving grace. You've got to go talk to the king. And she says, but you don't understand. It's been 30 days, and her interpretation of the 30 days is he's not interested in me anymore. He's moved on. He's not interested. He doesn't want to have an audience with me. And he has one standing rule. If I go before him without being invited, I'm going to put to death. So here's Esther called to go before this king, knowing that her life is in danger. That's what it looks like to come before someone who's the king and who hasn't summoned you by their own desire. Let's talk about Israel for just a minute. In the nation of Israel, during the time of the temple, God's presence was deemed to exist in the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, the inner corner of the temple, the very heart, the core of the temple, the Holy of Holies. And no human being could go into the Holy of Holies except one person, a high priest, and only one day of the year. And legend has it, I don't know if this is true, but it makes sense or not. Legend has it that the other priests, when it was the high priest's turn to go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, to go before God, in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, the other priest would tie a rope around his ankle. So that if he happened to go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies and somehow said or did something displeasing to God and God struck him dead, they wouldn't have to go in there and put their own lives at risk to get him out. They could just roll him out. Doesn't that sound like a job you want? I'm going to go before God today, tie a rope around my ankle in case something happens. I might say or do something and drag him out. So, we think, well, that's not our God. Our God wouldn't do that. And you remember the story of Uzzah? 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. David's trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. They're hauling it on an ox cart. They're not following God's desire and God's prescription on how to move the Ark of the Covenant. They get ready to cross a stream. The ox stumble, the cart rocks, and Uzzah reaches out to steady the Ark of the Covenant. Best of intentions, and God strikes him dead. There's a whole lot more going on there than just a God who's temperamental. It's a God who said, this is how you handle God and his things, and they were being disrespectful to that. But it's a scary thing to come in the presence of a God who holds your very existence in his hand. And yet Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, what we just read, that we have confidence to enter the most holy place. We have confidence. You and I, we didn't have to go to Black Gold Days and say, we'd love to pray for you, but God's only allowed us to come from 9 to 9:30 into his presence. We could come to Black Gold Days, make new friends, meet people, share their stories, hear their wonderful life stories. What a great day to celebrate a man and his 26-year-old daughter spending their first few moments together. We get to share that and know without a doubt and with confidence when someone says, yes, I have something you can pray about. That we can stop right there in the middle of a carnival and go, we're going to go right into the presence of the Holy of Holies, of the God of God, the King of Kings, the one who has the power of life and death, and he welcomes us into his presence. We can do that with the confidence that he turns his face to us, he hears us, and he always responds in what is best. That's the God that we worship, the God who invites us to draw near to him. And third, God makes our prayers powerful and effective. This one comes from James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He's to call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. We'll stop there. Elijah. Elijah was a prophet to North Israel during the time of the divided kingdom. And Elijah was frustrated because the North Israelites were worshiping idols. They were worshiping the god of Baal. And so Elijah prayed to God, God, please withhold rain. We can appreciate that this time of year. It's kind of dry and a little bit warm. God, please withhold rain. And the prayer was not just rain, but just withhold dew. Just keep all the moisture to yourself, God, to remind the Israelites that they must not be idol worshipers. And God did that for 3.5 years. At the end of the 3.5 years, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest. Let's just have a little contest here. At that time, Baal worship, Baal was an idol of the day that was nothing more than a man-made figurine that people wished and attributed powers to that it did not exist. Well, the 450 prophets of Baal versus one prophet for the one true God. And the contest was this: let's build an altar, let's put a sacrifice on it. You do one, I'll do one. Let's pray to our gods, and whoever lights the fire, that's the real God. And the 450 prophets of Baal went first. By the way, it's a little bit one-sided. 450 prophets to one. If you would imagine like a tug of war, we're going to have one guy on one end of the rope and 450 on the other. That's kind of what the way this contest has played out. If anybody had an advantage, it should be the prophets of Baal, because they've got 450 people tugging on their end of the rope. They start praying to Baal to light the fire. Doesn't work. They pray more fervently. Doesn't work. They get weapons and start slashing themselves, and they cut themselves until Scripture says their blood gushed, and they cried louder and louder, and they danced to exhaustion, and they danced from morning until the evening sacrifice, and nothing happened. And so then Elijah, the one guy on the other end of the tug of rope, he says, well, let's fill some water jars and put some water on the sacrifice. Do it again. And so three times they flooded the altar and the sacrifice with water until water ran. They dug trenches and it ran out of the trenches. And this one poor prophet prays one prayer to the one true God. And after all day, 450 prophets couldn't get their God's attention. And Elijah kind of egged that on a little bit. Well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's on the other line. Keep trying. One prayer to the one true God. And God brings down fire that not only consumes the altar, it consumes the sacrifice, it dries it, it consumes the water, and just turns everything to ash. Now that's a wonderful story of the Old Testament. That's a great story to tell in Sunday school class. Then after all that was over with, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 45, Elijah prayed to God to end the drought, and the drought ends. And that's what you see on the screen, this one little cloud that Elijah's praying about, and this one little cloud turns into a rain that ends the drought. That's all well and good until you get back to the passage we just read in James chapter 5. And James chapter 5 verse 17 says what? Elijah's a man just like us. Some of your translations say he's with a nature like ours. So James is writing to believers. He said, you remember when all that wonderful stuff happened? The guy who prayed to the one true God that got all that going? He's just like us. Nothing special about him, nothing unique. He didn't have a one-of-a-kind relationship with God. He's just like us. And the whole point of this challenge for the prophets of Baal and the whole point of James' statement is that God hears our prayers. And unlike people who pray to an idol, we pray to a God who created the universe, who sustains the universe, who put the stars in their place and gave them names, who told the sea, this is as far as you can go, and you can go no further. The one who set the seasons. This is the God that we pray to, and this is the God who responds to prayer. It's the God who makes our prayers powerful and effective. So let's talk for just a minute about how does God answer prayers. There's different views about God and how God works in the modern world versus how he worked in the first century Christian church versus how he worked in the Old Testament world. If you believe God still performs miracles, anything's possible. He can still part the sea. He can still bring down fire that eats up a sacrifice. He can still make a couple who's 100 years old pregnant. But if you believe that the time of the miracles has passed, then God still works, and he works through providence. What I mean by the word providence is simply God working within the universe that he created and the laws of the universe that he created. And God doesn't suspend gravity in the idea of providence. He just works within gravity. And I want to share with you something that Burton Kaufman said. Burton Kaufman is a Christian who lived about a generation ago and was very productive. He wrote many commentaries and kind of a voice for many of the churches of Christ in the 50s and 60s. And Burton Kaufman said this in his commentary on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He said, there are marvelous providences, you know what I mean, so singular and astonishing as to startle men is not surprising. That there are marvelous providences so singular and astonishing as to startle men is not surprising, for it may not be denied that God is still working in the world, especially in his kingdom. Yet indeed God answers prayer, yes indeed, and sometimes in the most astonishing ways. So no matter what you see and how you see God working in the world today, we need to be prepared to be astonished. To pray to God, to lift up prayers, and to feel like we're just one weak human being lifting up a prayer, maybe for another human being, but just lifting up to prayer. But we need to prepare to be shocked and amazed at a God that can do infinitely more, abundantly, exceedingly more than we can ask or imagine. And by the way, I want to go back to the going to his presence in confidence. The Living Bible translation has this wonderful idea. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22, where in my old NIV translation it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled to God, sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and body washed and pure. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. The Living Bible says, go right in. You ever go to somebody's house? Well, come right in here. That's what God says. You ready to pray? God says, come right in. Prayer is an amazing gift for an amazing God. Neil read it for us. Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. What an amazing gift for an amazing God who can do exceedingly, abundantly, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, who holds life and death in his hand, and he still says, come right in, and who invites us to come to him in prayer. What an amazing privilege for people in our community to share their world with us for a moment and invite us to join them in prayer. What an amazing privilege to come before God and lift them up and lift us up to a God who says, come right in. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you praise and glory as the God of creation, the God who made everything that we see and everything that we know and everything that has been and everything that will be, the God who decided to make us in your image, the God who loves us, the God who hears us, the God who welcomes us into the Holy of Holies, like just now to come into your presence. We give you all praise and all glory. And Father, we are thankful to be your children. And we are so grateful for this avenue of prayer. And Father, we lift up our world. We pray for the countries around the world. We pray for the leaders around the world. We ask that you might bless them. And you might have your people in each corner of the world who proclaim your truth in your love. We lift up our nation and pray that you continue to watch over this nation and protect it. We pray for our nation's leaders that ask that you would guide them and direct their decisions. We pray for our community. And Father, thank you for the privilege of going out into our community and visiting with our neighbors and making friends and praying with them. We thank you for our congregation, for every soul that's here, for young and young at heart, for new Christians and those who are seasoned veterans. We thank you, Father, for every soul. We thank you for our leadership and ask you to bless them and bless their families and watch over and protect them. And Father, we ask you to help us to be your servants. Help us to be your light to the world. We thank you for the trust that you've put in us in using us. We pray that you would strengthen us, that we can live up to that trust. And Father, finally, we pray that when it's our turn, we ask you to bring us home to be with you. But between now and then, we give you permission to use us in any way you see fit. Strengthen us, fill us, give us wisdom, give us patience, help us to speak your truth in love, and forgive us when we fail you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. That's an invitation to you. If there's any way this church can serve you, if we can pray for you, let us pray for you. If we can walk along with you on a journey, if we can spend time in God's Word to see what His plan is for your life, if there's any way we can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.